Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
For those of you who have not heard about Wakaliwood, you better get on board. This is an amazing film studio based in Wakaliga in Uganda, a place you wouldn't really associate with action movies, but that's exactly what the studio is doing, along with horror movies and so on. Their recent film is titled Crazy World, and it premiered at Toronto last year, but was also shown as part of the We Are One Global Film Festival a few weeks ago, and it can be defined as a mind-blowing experience. Here to tell us all about Wakaliwood and Crazy World, the founder and creative engine of the studio, filmmaker Nabwana IGG, whom I will refer to as Isaac, and the film producer who traveled there years ago from New York to give them a hand, Alan Ofmanis. So Isaac and Alan, thank you for joining me in talking about the magic of Wakaliwood.
Hello there.
Now, before we started this interview, I actually, Alan, you were telling me that your name is longer than the one that I have written down.
Blame Isaac and the guys. It's Alan Ofmanis is where I'm from, Long Island in U.S. But in Uganda, it is Alan Sali Oyenchima Musaja Wakabaka Nemefani Yesu Muganda Laptop. Ofmanis? It's like Isaac's laughing. And it's like, it's on the passport.
The laptop stands out.
Yeah, because I'm always carrying it. And Mafene, that's right. That's what I mean. That's right. Yeah, laptop because I'm always carrying the laptop and the children call me that. But Mafene, so Fene is jackfruit. And if you know it, jackfruit's a big thing. It's big. It's big and round. And so that's Fene. Mafene means... my stomach is shaped like a jackfruit. And so when I get fat, that's what they call me. Because I get fat when I go back to America, I eat better, maybe. And when I come back to Uganda, I look like Mafene. Thank you. Thank you, Isaac.
I see. Well, all right. So let's get this interview sounding like an actual interview for a second, shall we?
Yep, there we go.
All right, so this is amazing. But I know that a lot of listeners are not going to be familiar with Wakaliwood. So, but first off, I just wanted to start off by asking a simple question, Isaac. I wanted to start off with you and your background and ask you a very simple question. Why and when did you decide to make movies?
Yeah, it was around 2005 when I decided to make movies, but I had the dream before. It was around 1986, around there, when we started, teaching ourselves Kung Fu with my brother Robert. And the truth is I did not get a chance of watching movies when I was young, as Robert used to escape, to sneak in the video halls. And what he could come up with the story, he could tell you the story of a movie. And basically were action movies those days, the likes of, Bruce Lee, stars like Bruce Lee, Wang Yu, Jet Li. No, Jet Li was not in that era, but Bud Spencer. Then came in the Schwarzenegger, Rojamo, and others. So it could tell you those stories, and then you get the imagination. And that is, in fact, what I'm using even up to now. I've not seen the movies, but I have the imagination of the movies from the stories Robert used to tell me. So from there, I got a challenge in my head that I have to make a movie. In 1988, I remember I told him that we can make a movie. But we did not even have a camera. But he told me, no, you cannot make a movie. It's, movies are very expensive. You need millions of, dollars to make a movie. So we taught ourselves Kung Fu through Chinese magazines. And the magazine was called China Sports Magazine. And then we started running from the movements at the back. There were movements of Kung Fu. So we taught ourselves. So when time came in 2005, when I was making bricks by that time, but I had collected at least some money, and then I said, no, let me buy a computer. It was a compact too. Then I thought of, starting how do they make a movie? And then that's how I started. But the inspiration comes from, the art I had, because I was an artist from childhood. I used to draw a lot from the exercise books, which were given to me for school. I used always to draw there. I used to draw about football. A football match, I could draw the whole football match. Later on, when we started Kung Fu, then I started drawing the stunts of Kung Fu. So the movements of Kung Fu. So that's how time came when I wanted these pictures to move. And 2005 was a good year for me to start.
And was that when you also started Wakaliwood?
Yeah, that is when I started the dream of Wakaliwood. It was not Wakaliwood by then. It was, I called it Ramon. Ramon Film Productions. And the names were are two names of my grandmothers. One from the paternal and the other one from the maternal. Rachel is from the paternal side. And then maternal is the Monica. And then if you add the two, it's Rachel and Monica, or Raquel and Monica. That is Ramon. Yeah, then later on, because we grew up in Wakaliga. The place here where I am, it is called Wakaliga. Then, that's the time when even Alan was here. We started calling, and we wanted to call it our village, and then it said it's Wakaliwood.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Yeah, when I first went there, it was Ramon, and I always thought I was looking for a Mexican in Africa. I didn't get it.
Yeah, that's true.
and then it's like, oh, and then I told Isaac, you know, Ramon is a real name, you know, in much of the world. And Isaac was like, it should be. It's a great name. It's a good word.
The Heart Ramon, that's a Sergio Leone film. I think it's A Fistful of Dollars. Hey, so, but was Who Killed Captain Alex then the first film that you guys made?
No, I had already made some, like two movies. And some of those, in fact, three movies, but one of them was not mine. I just shot it. In fact, I learned from it, a lot of writing from it. But it was a friend of mine who had a play and wanted to make a movie out of that play. So by that time I wanted to know how they write a movie. So I had to help him, you know, shoot it and edit it. So I learned a lot from his writing. Then we came together. I mean, that's when I called it the first audition after making that movie. So I came together with the crew, which I had by that time. We made one movie called Ibyabuka, which means things fly, things can fly, or something like that. You know, getting it from the Nigerians, because we had a lot of Nigerian movies here. So I wanted to make a movie similar to the Nigerians. So later, after making that movie, I said my dream is action. And then I told these guys that we have to make the first action movie of Uganda. So we sat, and then I started writing. When I was writing, I used to bring to the team what I was writing, and then we discuss it. So we discussed, and then the name at first was not Who Killed Captain Alex. We did not even have a name at first. The name came after making the movie itself. We named it after watching it. And then we said, maybe this point here when Captain Alex is killed, we'll make the title of the movie. And then we said, who killed it? In fact, it is even said, the mafia, Tiger Mafia says, who killed him? Who killed him? Sammy, who killed Captain Alex? And that's when we said, oh, this is a good word. A good word to call our movie. And then we called it Who Killed Captain Alex.
Well, I remember watching the trailer for that movie years ago. And it was all over, everywhere. It was everywhere. Is that how, Alan, when did you come into the picture then? When did you decide?
Yeah, that's it. I think the trailer went viral in 2010. You know, on its own. Just, you know, on its own. And it had millions of views. And then with me, I was, I'm from New York, and I was in a bar in the East Village. My friend showed me, you know, for a laugh, the trailer for Who Killed Captain Alex, which again, at that point had like, I don't know, 1.7 million views. So it was out there, and you know, he's laughing at this trailer and this, but I wasn't laughing. Like I thought it was genius and brilliant. And my background in this film, I was in production for a number of years and like a festival program director as well. So I'm looking at this and I thought it was brilliant, but crazy and nuts and all this, but I couldn't get it out of my head. So that was 2011. And about 10 days after seeing the trailer, I showed up in Uganda to track down who made the film.
What? And, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
what,
yeah, yeah. Look,
what did you want to do once in Uganda?
Well, it's not like I wanted to work with him per se. I was in my head, but it was more I wanted to figure out what I was looking at. Because, look, if you see the trailer for Who Killed Captain Alex, like it's funny and nuts. But it's obvious there's no money, right? But if you're in the West and you have no money, you know, you make a love story, right? You shoot a family reunion in your house up country. You don't make a war film with 200 people and helicopters and everything. And so when I'm looking at this, like, I saw that there was a director, like this was produced, like, because there's so many people involved, like, and I could see, like, I know someone is yelling at people. I know someone wants this shot, wants this action, wants that. And it makes sense now because that team has been together for years at that point. And some of them grew up, like Isaac was saying, they were children together playing. So they all know each other. So I had all these questions about it. Like, it made no sense that it should work as well as it does. So I went there just to meet them, and they go from there. And I knew I would find them because the film is so nuts. Again, if it was a love story, I'm screwed. Where am I going to find them? But I would have gone that day, and I checked, but the tickets were $10,000. So I waited until the ticket I could afford to track them down. And I found them the first day. And I, went up to them and I said, hello, my name is Alan. I'm from New York. And, I just like to talk.
And what Isaac, what did you think when you saw when you saw Alan?
Yeah, at first it, because by the time he came here, I had some visitors here from France. So I first thought he is part of them. But he told me later that no, I'm not part of them. It was obvious he was speaking English and were much of French. And yes, they were speaking English, but their English was much more French. So I realized, and then we talked. In fact, for me, what came into my mind is that I've got a commando from, from Hollywood. That's what came into my mind. So I can use him for building the film industry of Uganda, because I was struggling to persuade Ugandans to love our movies. But the first thing they knew was, if there is no one whites like Muzungu, we call them Muzungu, whites are called Muzungu here. So for them, I knew that if I use him in the movie, people will understand me more. By that time, yes, I was understood outside. There were few understanding me here. I mean, they were not believing in me. But when I saw him, it was like a blessing. And another way of, another thing is that we had got what I call a missionary, someone, because missionaries keep on preaching. So for me, it was like I got a missionary who is going to help us to preach the world, the word, that we can make awesome movies. I knew that
mission.
We were,
So I am on a mission.
That is it. It was a material. I knew it was going to be useful in that way.
When you started making films, did you always think that they would one day be seen by an international audience?
Yeah, I didn't think that we're going to be seen all over the world. Though I said it when we were seated here with the group. I told them that we are making Who Killed Captain Alex, the first action movie. I know if the government does not stop it, it will go all over the world. But I thought the government was going to stop it. That's what I thought. And the government never cared about it. So it went, and then, but I didn't know what to do anyway, because it was a surprise when I got a call from, from Sweden. The first call came from Sweden. Someone, it was a Ugandan, was telling me that, your movie is selling like a hot cake here. And I said, who is buying and who is giving the money to? So, and then I got a few hours, I got someone from USA, and he said the same thing, the same word. Your movie is selling like a hotcake. And then that second person told me that you visit your YouTube. And then I had to pay back and go back to the YouTube, which I had abandoned for like 8 months. And then I found that it was whenever you refresh the page, you see 1,000 comments and 1,000 views. So it was like, I couldn't understand. People were laughing. People were enjoying. Others were, funny comments. And was like, what is this? And if it is selling like a hotcake, where's the money? So for me, I didn't know what I was doing anyway by that time. So it was a surprise.
In the simplest way possible, how would you describe film culture in general in Uganda?
Yeah, the film culture is just young. I would say that the film industry is young. Yes, the government is coming in to censor the movies and regulate them. But I think they are more of, concerned with the political issues. They don't care what the movie is about. But if it is as political, because we have had meetings with the government, and what they're saying, the media council, what is saying is that don't make a movie about this government or a movie about homosexuality. Those two points, if you don't make a move about them, no one is going to touch you. That's in brief, that's what they mean. Even if you don't take it for censoring, it can be sold all over. But if you make a mistake and if you mention the two, it might cause a problem or something like that. But what I would say that the movie industry is still new, though we have now so many, directors, editors, producers coming, young ones. I myself have told so many producers and, you know, editors, many. The bad thing is that many of them quit film and go to television, where they, and music videos, because at least there you can be paid. It's not yet paying here in the music industry here.
I see.
And it's very split, right, Isaac? I mean, like the industry there is split between the upper class and the lower class.
Yeah, we have what we call the down there and the up there.
The down there and the up there.
Guess which one Wakaliwood is.
I would put it up there, man. That's what I would.
It is, all right. Isaac calls them tripod movies. They're tripod films.
But you mentioned earlier Nigerian films, and would that be an example of the movies that, you know, are being watched in Uganda? I'm trying to understand what films people watch there in general.
Oh, in general, that has been a question here, and I think it is not and you are the first to ask such a question here in Uganda, from international, I would say, from outside Uganda. But when someone asked me, I remember someone was asking me, what is the way forward? It was a Ugandan here. What do you think is the way forward for the film of Uganda? I told him that let us make what we call a dogo. A dogo means witchcraft. And that is what people are much watching here. And now action is taking over. But people here are believing in witchcraft somehow. And that's why I made crazy world, to tell the world that you are talking about child kidnap, but in Uganda it is child sacrifice. People are sacrificing children here, believing that blood of children can help them to become rich. So, and we have to fight it. So people are still believing in witchcraft, and that's why they loved Nigerian movies. Yes, they are still watching such movies, and that's why they like films. My most selling movie here in Uganda is called Ejiniria Ntwetwe, which is a story about the demons of Ntwetwe, something like that. So they believe a little bit in that. So for me, because I try to do both, like, you know, I do some, you know, magic, I mean that witch, and also action, like Return of Uncle Benon, which is a mix of two. That's why they love my movies somehow.
That's crazy world, your latest film, and I'm glad that you brought it up. I watched it, I thought it was great, and I understand that it'll be going online to the world at large.
Yeah, right now it's on demand with Alamo Drafthouse. That's global, and we're pre-selling the DVD now on wakaliwood.com. But yeah, it's coming, yeah.
Check it out, people, because it's an awesome film. Yeah, I wanted to make sure we mentioned it before then. So, in other words, with this film, it's kind of just, you want to entertain people, but you also want to talk about important subjects.
Yes, yes.
Right, that's important, right? That's important for you.
Yes, yes, well, yes, yeah, it's very important.
Okay, so just to say a few words to our listeners who are not familiar with the film, would you care to maybe say like a few sentences about the story?
Yeah, what's it about, Isaac?
The movie. The movie is about, yeah, it is, I would say that it is about us. It entertains a lot, where we have the shortest, and Mr. Big is a short guy who is, in fact, here in Uganda, we call him Mpya Unyataka, which means someone shorter smells more soil because he's near the soil. So that's what it literally means. So you will see that guy is demanding for children. He's a rich guy. His wealth is going down, and he's saying, bring more children, bring more children. And then they bring, but we see now the children fighting against such, you know, as fighting back and with their parents to see that they rescue themselves from the bad guy. I would say that.
Now prompts the question here. How do you cast your movies?
Yeah, the truth, when I'm writing these movies, I normally write for the people who are around me. Normally I look at them like that. When I saw him, he was a short guy. In fact, he died of recent, I mean, sometimes last year, I think. But when I looked at him, I thought that if I make him the boss, people will enjoy it. It'll be like a little bit comic and something like that. So normally when I look at my cast, the people around me, that's how I start writing. I write for them. I normally don't write for what I don't have. So, and the casting also, sometimes these people come from different parts of Uganda. Others around me, others I stay with them. But these people, after watching my movie,
Isaac, we can.
In COVID, I've been calling lockdown. I've been calling and I always tell them, please, we are in a lockdown.
I don't know. I think I missed part of that, but there's so much that I would love to talk with you. You see people and you cast and you make a role for them. That's what happened with you, Alan, yes, as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but Isaac can talk more about this. But he doesn't really audition people. It's more like if you come to him, most of the actors, they come from far away. They're Ugandan, but it could be from hundreds of kilometers away. But they come to Isaac because they want to work with him.
What?
And
really?
And Isaac, yeah, and Isaac's, I think, response is like, well, if you come that far, you must be good because you're passionate, you know? And so that was the thing with me. It's like, look, I came pretty far, man, you know? And it's like, so you're in.
But is there not like a training process? Because I'm thinking of the martial arts stuff. And
oh, that's different. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But those are all, yes, but those are also the same thing. I mean, these are people who are passionate about that. And so an average person, say like myself, who's in the middle, yeah, they put me on the training. That's awful. It's freaking horrible. And then you start jogging, you know, like 10-mile marathon things, and you realize, you know, you're practically 50 years old running around with 22-year-old Ugandans. And who wins every Olympics, you know? It's like people from East Africa. And so they're killing me.
Hey,
so there's a training process, but...
We are sadly running out of time, but there's a couple of things that I still wanted to ask you. One of the things is this film introduced me to, and I mentioned it to you, Alan, earlier, just before the interview, the VJs. And I know it may be like a simple thing to focus on, but Isaac, I wanted to ask you if you could describe the importance of the VJ in Crazy World as well in your films to an international audience.
Yeah, VJ, basically it is video joker. That is what it means. In brief, but a VJ is someone I think who spices the movie and you feel like you like it more and more. For instance, even me, when I make a movie and then I take it to VJ Emmy, he makes it and then I watch it more than 4 times, because he has changed it a little bit and has made it more lovely, more, you know, you feel like that is for me is a VJ. And the way he does it is like he puts in some comedy and also try to put you into understanding it. That is a VJ.
I see, yeah.
And I think the most important thing, though, with it for international, because I work with Emmy with the translations of all this, is that he makes it okay to laugh, you know? Because of Emmy, in 2 seconds, you know you're watching entertainment and a comedy. And because this is such a new, crazy thing that's happening from a part of the world that's not known for delivering entertainment, per se, that when you first watch, say, Captain Alex or something, you're not sure. Like, do they know that's a toy gun? Do they know it's like this? Like, you know, do they know that this looks maybe silly? And the answer is yes. It's just supposed to be fun. But in 2 seconds, the VJ puts you in place. He's literally sits there. Okay, now fasten your seatbelts. You know, we're going for a ride.
Yeah.
And it makes it unique. It makes Wakaliwood something, even if you don't, say, appreciate the VJ, you don't like it, you have to see it because you have to see if you do like it or not. So it puts us in a completely separate, unique category.
All right, so we have to go because I promised to keep this at like 20 minutes at most, and we're exceeding the length, and it's a shame because I would talk with you for an hour. And speaking of which, I was recently, and I have been looking at your YouTube channel quite a lot, and there's a Buster Keaton film narrated by a VJ there, which I thought was terrific, actually. But
yeah, and I want to do more of that. Yeah, like Charlie Chaplin. Yeah.
Oh man, that would be awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. But I want to ask you just we've talked about Crazy World, we talked about the history of Wakaliwood, but where is Wakaliwood going? Like, what's the future looking like for this amazing studio?
What do you say, Isaac?
Yeah, for me, I would say that my dream is to see that we get a good space, a big space, and then we try to train more, you know, filmmakers. We have good, you know, locations. We set, you know, some filming, you know, like a filming studio, warehouses, something like that, and in one place. But most important of all is training the future, you know, filmmakers. That's my dream. And because I've seen so many people all over the world talking to me through social media that I've inspired them. I don't want to let them down. I feel like, yes, I would, you know, teach more. You know, that's what I think Wakaliwood is going.
Alan,
and
would you?
Yeah. yeah, that. But also, Isaac, we have to like kill Schwarzenegger, man. You know, we got to get these people. They've never died. They don't die on movies. They all need to die. Van Damme, Steven Seagal.
Would you
all of them, Rambo?
Would you do that?
You have
would
to kill him.
Okay, okay. So your plan is to get Schwarzenegger in one of your films. That's where we're also going, right?
And to die.
Yeah, yeah. They should die. They should die.
I think they would. I think they'd love to do that. I think they'd love to do that.
And a, yeah, the big final rescue mission. And
okay, so if you had, okay, so if you could pick one of these big action stars, who would be the number one action star that you would have in a Wakaliwood film?
I don't know, but when I was growing up, I loved Chuck Norris very much. Oh. I like the mass of, you know, Swagger, but, and the Rambo, they have good muscular, they're muscular enough, but, you know, Chuck Norris was my best from childhood, and from the poster, I didn't watch his movies, but I was seeing him from the poster outside the cinema hall. So I believe that if one of them, the Dolph Lundgren, they're good. They're all good.
Guys, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, man. That was great.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.